So this is my first podcast, and I'll talk a little bit about me. Gua orang Indonesia yang lulus dan sekarang kerja di Amerika. Channel gua ini bakal ngomong tentang review tinggal di US dan beberapa tips dan tricks yang gua temuin selama gue di sini. Semoga hal tersebut bisa ngebantu orang Indonesia, terutama murid-murid yang baru nyampe di sini, buat bertransisi di sini. Gue asli orang Bandung, lulus dari SMA Trinitas dan pindah buat kuliah di LA pertama kali di El Camino Community College. So udah 3 tahun gue dapet MIAA degree associates. Gue transfer ke Minnesota State University karena gue dapet scholarship. Dan jurusan gue waktu di El Camino Community College was Business Administration. Dan waktu SMA juga gue IPS. Dan waktu gue pindah ke Minnesota, itu gue berubah jurusan jadi MIS, Management Information System. Dan sekarang gue kerja jadi software developer di salah satu consulting company di Illinois. Yeah. So on this episode, gua bakal bercerita tentang overall experience of studying in the United States. And let's start with my high school first. So, gua lulus dari SMA Trinitas, jurusan gua IPS. Dan waktu gua lulus itu gua merah 7 dari 13 mata pelajaran. Dan sekarang gua jadi software developer. Gak banyak rasanya orang-orang yang stories-nya end up being me. Because di Indonesia gue rasa kalau jurusan lu IPS itu ending-nya kalau gak lu kerja jadi kerja di bank lah, atau kerja jadi accountant, gak bisa ngambil fields that are struggling in the science or STEM fields, you know. Sekolah di Amerika itu ngajarin hal yang paling besar, hal terbesar yang gue pelajari di Amerika, sekolah di Amerika itu tentang responsibilitas. Gak banyak orang yang belajar arti dari responsibilitas kalau misalkan mereka itu kuliah dan hidupnya selalu di Bandung aja, menurut gue. Karena seringkali orang tua bakalan ikut campur buat ngebantu anaknya sukses, which is good, but I feel like sometimes your kids need to be let go and just let the kid figure out things on their own, like me. Because one day, there's a lot of things that you gotta face on your own, and you better be ready for it. Kesan tentang guru-guru di sini itu, gue rasa gurunya gak akan peduli sama muridnya kalau muridnya gak akan peduli sama dirinya mereka sendiri. There's a lot of Indonesian students that I met that don't care about their own studies. You know, their GPA is about like 2 or 1.5, and yeah, they don't care. Some do. So I know a lot of people have 4.0 GPAs. It's very smart people. Sekolah di Amerika juga, lu bakalan bisa belajar tentang ambil jurusan yang enggak ikut-ikutan sama temen. Ambil jurusan yang emang lu bener mau ambil itu. Karena you don't wanna be living on someone else's story, you know? Like, your parents told you to become a doctor. You don't really wanna be a doctor. You wanna be an engineer, you know? But you came from families of doctors, so you have to be a doctor. That happens a lot in Indonesia, but not in the United States. It's a free country. You can choose whatever major you want to choose. But you gotta be sure that one day, after your parents pay off your tuition, you know that you can make money on your own. But you won't regret what you picked. Also, you can be involved in a lot of things in college. And like, you can join a frat or sorority, which can build your resume, your networking skills, your leadership skills, your socializing skills, make a lot of friends in it. And that's amazing. Sekolah di Amerika itu kayak di film-film. You know, you can be the smart kid who just introvert, you know, studying all day long, got a good grades, and play video games at night. Or you can be just a mediocre student who goes to party a lot, have fun, have something to talk about when you're old. And or you can be, yeah, you can be anyone you want, you know. I personally spend a lot of my time after I arrive in Minnesota to work. So yeah, one of the perks of studying in the United States is working. Gua bisa kerja part time. So at that time, I was working in the residence hall as a student worker, and basically they told me to just lift things up, like loft or de-loft bunk beds in students' dorms. Or yeah, basically it's like a muscle for hire. So they tell me a lot of things to lift, and I like it there, you know, because I got paid, I think, about $12 an hour, which is very high. Because the minimum wage in Minnesota was about, I think, $8.50. So I got the highest blue-collar paying job in the school. And I was working about 19.5 hours. 20 is the maximum per week. So yeah, I make a lot of money in there. And I spend a lot of time in there in the office. Also, I spend a lot of time in the gym because I just love lifting. I just love working out so much. And yeah, that's my... Well, also about the subject itself, pelajaran-pelajarannya. It's pretty good, I think. Teach you a lot to be critical. Your critical thinking is heavily impacted. Banyak kelas yang dimana lu harus research on, you have to write a paper and you have to do a lot of research on the points or arguments that you want to argue. And some classes are hands-on because my major was management information system and I'm working in software developer. So my classes were mostly about IT class, like Java or Python or SQL database, distributing system. So yeah, I like it. I feel like a lot of things that I study, I learn in school was huge part of, it's like a base, a really good base of my founding career as a software developer. So on this episode, I'm gonna talk about my experience living in LA. So I had never lived outside Bandung before coming to LA. Jadi LA itu bisa dibilang salah satu kota yang paling kota kedua yang gua tinggalin sudah Bandung. And I love LA. I feel like everyone who lives in LA would say I love LA. They love LA. From the weather, the food, the people, the diversity, the beach, the mountain, the sunlight. Everything is awesome about LA. There's nothing bad about LA, you know. If we want to talk about the money, the cost of living in LA, I think it's kind of high, I guess, for some people. I was paying about $650 about 3 years ago for every month, and I was living in a one-bedroom apartment. And my landlady was very nice to me. She used to take me to groceries every weekend, to Costco and to Asian groceries. So I didn't have a car back then. I just had a bicycle and I had to bike everywhere, school, to the bank, to the gym, everywhere. And it was great because there are sidewalks everywhere. There's a metro. So yeah, you can survive in LA with a bicycle to some extent. You won't be going to the groceries with your bicycle, of course. You would need a bus or a car. But living in LA, I think you will make a lot of friends. You meet a lot of people. Go to a lot of events, which is great. The weather has always been like above 15 degrees Celsius, which is amazing, because I'm pretty sure kita sebagai orang Indonesia are not so inclined to live in a place where it's 6 months below 0 degrees Celsius, you know, like in the Midwest or the east of northeast coast, like in New Jersey, New York, Vermont. Yeah. And well, one thing that I noticed in LA, that the food is cheaper compared to Minnesota or Illinois, list where I can say that because I also lived in Minnesota and in Illinois. But the place itself, like the cost of rent is, well, if you live in the heart of LA, you'll pay about $2,000 for a one-bedroom apartment, because I used to have a friend who lives there. It's quite expensive, but if you live in the suburb, like I used to live 30 minutes, like 15 to 30 minutes from LA, and it's about, yeah, $650. It's pretty good. Definitely a must place to live or must place to go, because you can go to the beach in 15 minutes, and if you want to go to the mountains to hike, you can get there in 30 minutes. And when you go home, you can eat the most delicious food on earth with just $10. Yeah, so amazing place, folks. This episode, I'm going to talk about living in Minnesota. So Minnesota is cold, like crazy cold. As sebagai orang Indonesia, gue gak nyangka ada satu tempat dunia ini yang dingin banget. As a matter of fact, last year there was a polar vortex where the whole about Midwest, from Minnesota, Illinois, Iowa, Wisconsin, everything is stopped. Like, the government stopped because it was just too cold for about 2 days. Or the weather for that 2 days, I think it was in February last year or March, the weather was colder than in the South Pole. Yeah, you heard me right. It was colder than in the South Pole. So that last, the winter is about from like October until mid-May. Yeah, that it's that long. And winter sucks. It just sucks. Like, you can't do a lot of things. Like, people say, hey, it's great, you can do snowboarding or skiing or tubing, but you won't be doing that every single day. And to live in a place where winter lasts about 6 months just sucks, you know. And sometimes there is no sunlight. Like, it could be a week until you see a sunlight. You know, the effect of not seeing sunlight is really bad. Like, it's really depressing to live in a place where every time you wake up, the sky is gray. It just sucks. And the wind is just unbelievably cold. And if you drive around, your car might be stuck in the snow, which happened to me a lot of times. Because the snow, which is cars just can't go through snow. You know, sometimes they stuck, or some cars just die in the middle of the road because it's too cold for the battery to start up. And yeah, it's really not great. You know, the best time to live in Minnesota was in the summer. Especially, there are beautiful places. Like, Minnesota is beautiful, but it's just cold. That's the problem. If the weather is the same as in LA, I wouldn't complain about living in Minnesota a lot. I remember I went to this place called the Quarry up in St. Cloud. It's like one of those movies where the kids jump off the cliff and down to the lake. And it was crazy fun. Like, amazingly fun. It was like branded in my head as one of best times in my life. But to talk about the rent, if you live in Minneapolis, the heart of Minneapolis, it would be the same as living in LA. Like $2,000 or $2,500. Probably just a little bit cheaper compared to LA. But it is still expensive if you live in Minneapolis. However, I lived in a small town, so like a college town, and I was paying about 700, I think, yeah, 750 per month. And the food are more expensive to compared to in LA. That's one thing that I was surprised about. And I think the only cheaper thing compared to stuff in LA is just the gas prices. Relatively cheaper, like a dollar cheaper, I think. But yeah, everything else is about more expensive or about the same. So yeah. So in this episode, I'm gonna talk about how I went back to Indonesia for free. So this trick, I found out when I was doing my internship. So when you wanna do an internship in the United States, you are required to have a social security number. Now, these numbers are very hard to come by if you're not a citizen, because if you're an international student like me, who is looking for a job, you need to find a job in the school. You can't work outside school unless you have an economic hardship, which is really hard to get. So after I got my social security, I started building my credit score. Unlike my friends, who start building their credit score after they graduate, I start building my credit score like a couple of weeks after I got my social security number. And I think that's a very good idea because I got a lot of cashbacks on using credit card. So my mindset when I use my credit card is that I treat it as my debit card, as my actually my bank. I know a lot of people treat their credit card as like extra money, which is extremely wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. You should treat your credit cards carefully. So what I did was every time I need to pay for something, I always pay with credit card if the merchant doesn't impose a merchant fee. So I paid my tuition school using my Chase Sapphire Preferred card, and they had a promo. So for a new members who pay $4,500 within 3 months, they will give you a like points, credit card, like a bank point or credit card points that is equivalent to plane ticket of $800. So my tuition was about $5,000, just the tuition itself. So I paid my tuition with a credit card without any extra fee. Like, it's just zero fee. So it's no brainer. Like, I figured, I was surprised when they didn't even impose fee at all, because some people would see it as a loophole. So the way you can understand it is that I paid my school tuition and I get a free plane ticket with it. That's it. So I did that, and also that card is Chase Sapphire Preferred that I mentioned earlier. It's for like a traveling card. So first, to be approved in that credit card is difficult. So I don't know how I got approved, because when I saw the reviews on Reddit, a lot of people are getting rejected, and those people have more credit history than me. Mine was less than a year, but I still got the card was approved, so that was great. I also combined that with my Chase Freedom Unlimited card, and I remember they gave like $300 for a new member who spent about $1,500 within the 3 months after you open the card. And so I combined both of that, and basically I got a plane ticket back to Indonesia for free. And then I applied for my Citibank Double Cash, which gives me 2% cash back on every purchase. So yeah, for those Indonesians who listen to this, telling you, get a job in school, get a school social security number, and start building your credit cards. You won't be able to sign up for Chase Freedom Unlimited or Chase Preferred Sapphire or Citibank Double Cash right away. Pretty sure you're gonna get rejected because you don't have history. These cards are for people with history. I guess a small history is fine, but you just need the history. So what I did was I applied for Discover, a secured credit card. So I paid $300 to Discover just for a collateral. So like, gue bayar $300, kalau misalkan gue gak bisa bayar dalam $300 itu, ntar $300-nya diambil. Dan the limit they give me was just $300. So yeah, that sucked. But I paved the way for my friends who didn't have a credit card, and once they got approved using my referral, their limit was about $1,600. So that was pretty good. So yeah, if you pay your stuff, you can pay a lot of stuff. The only thing that I don't pay using credit card is stuff that the merchant imposes a merchant fee. Like if I pay my rent, the apartments charge a merchant fee. So I always pay my rent with my debit card, but everything else, groceries, gas, Amazon, whatever it is that don't have a merchant fee, I always pay it with credit card and got my cash back. And ever since I live in the United States up until this moment that I'm recording this episode, I have gotten more than $2,000 worth of cashback, I think. Because just racking up points from cashback. Because you will pay, you'll spend your money either way. Why don't you make money when you are spending money? So that's my argument.